Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Alex Avila with Love University, and we're back. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. Every week, we talk about how to love ourselves, others, and a higher nature, how to improve our finances, career, health, relationships, and spirituality. And today, we have a very interesting topic and a very fascinating guest. Our topic today is how to kick emotional bullies out of your life. And I will welcome back the friend of the show, Sean Kanan. Now, Sean.
Dr. Avila, it's so good to see you. Thank you for having me back.
Fantastic. Yeah. And of course, Sean, people know that you are an award-winning actor, producer, and author. You're known for your portrayals of Mike Barnes on The Karate Kid 3 and also Cobra Kai. Memorable roles on The Bold and the Beautiful, Young and the Restless. You earned an Emmy also for Studio City, a production you created on Amazon Prime. And you're also the author of a couple books, The Way of the Cobra and Welcome to the Kumite. And you're also anti-bullying expert. Thanks for coming on the show, Sean.
Thank you very much for having me.
Incredible. Now, you know, last month was actually anti-bullying month, October.
Yes.
And we really want to get into that. But, you know, I want to take you back to a history lesson. I know you're good at that, going back in time. Starting with the first initial one, which is Karate Kid 1. Mm-hmm. Now, if you remember Karate Kid 1, we had Daniel LaRusso, I guess, had a single mom. They traveled to L.A., and he started being bullied in high school by these kids that were martial arts kids. And then there was a teacher that was very mean. He was almost killed, I guess, in one fight. And then Mr. Miyagi came to rescue him. And then we know the story where he won the tournament at the end. So in that case, he became stronger with the bullying. His mentor helped him overcome that. In Karate Kid 3, now you were the bully, right? In Karate Kid 3 with the other guy, what's his name? Silver, right?
Silver.
You guys concocted a scheme to break him down emotionally and bully him, and you did a good job at it. You know, he was really scared. At the very end, Miyagi helped him, and he said something like, it's okay to lose to an opponent, but don't lose to fear.
Must not lose to fear, yeah.
Exactly. And then they defeated you, right? And you were a 10th degree black belt, 17-year-old national champion. He became stronger. But finally, though, we have Cobra Kai, right, which is the hit series on Netflix that everyone loves. And also, there's a little African American kid named Kenny, who is a nerd. He's being bullied a lot. Then he goes to Cobra Kai and he learns the weapons, and he becomes a bully. And he ends up being a bully. So tell me about that, because we know that up to a third of people that are bullied become bullies, but this is not really seen as much in the shows. So can you explain that to us?
Well, I mean, unfortunately, it's not an uncommon phenomenon that a lot of people that suffer trauma, whether it's bullying or sexual abuse or violence, often grow up or become a perpetrator of the very things that they were subjected to. And that's why it's so important that we have these conversations. It's so important that we get these topics out of the shadows and into the sunlight and make it something, especially with bullying, that kids feel comfortable talking about.
Yes.
You know, bullying has become a pandemic, especially with the internet, you know, cyberbullying.
Yes.
You know, when I was a kid, you know, maybe you get bullied on the way to school, at school, after school, but now kids are getting bullied 24 hours a day with a touch of a keystroke. And a lot of what's being put on the internet that is cyberbullying, well, not a lot, all of it, it's there forever.
Yes.
And you know, it's destructive not only to the psyches of the kids that are getting bullied, but the kids that are bullying don't realize that their future employers, people that will be making decisions about their future, will have access to seeing this.
Yes.
And so it's destructive on so many levels.
Yes. I'm kind of curious, because I know we had the last conversation, and we really love it when you're on the show, talking about your own experiences, right? That you were, I think, bullied as a kid.
Yeah.
And later on, you said you had some kind of anger that you channeled into the audition, right? You actually scared the heck out of everyone there with your ki and all that, you know. So let me ask you this. First of all, how were you bullied? Tell us that. And did you ever become a bully yourself?
Well, I was one of probably five Jewish kids in a pretty hard scrambled Western Pennsylvania steel town. I was chubby. I wore glasses. Hmm. So it wasn't exactly the trifecta for popularity. I would say for probably a good 7 years, 6-7 years, I experienced a tremendous amount of bullying.
Hmm.
And I definitely attribute my dedication and experience to martial arts with helping me to get out of that situation. Mm-hmm. Martial arts teaches you confidence. It teaches you humility. It teaches you compassion. And it also teaches you to defend yourself. And so that was critical in my journey from being a young boy that was bullied to being a young man that wasn't bullied. Mm. To answer your question, was I ever a bully? Boy, I sure hope I wasn't. Mm. I don't think I was, but you know, when we're young kids, we don't have our psyches fully formed. I'm positive that there were times when I could have behaved better in certain situations and been kinder and been more compassionate to other people. So, but you know, I always
How are you bullied? Because, you know, there's different kinds. There's physical, there's emotional, there's, you know, different kinds.
Well, I'm pretty sure I was never a physical bully to anybody.
Oh, no, I'm saying, how do they bully you? Were you beaten up? Did they take your money? Did they call you fatso?
Yeah, all of that.
Oh, okay. It was all of the physical and emotional.
All of those things.
Wow.
And, you know, it caused a lot of scars that have taken me a very long time to heal. But again, it's given me a firsthand perspective of what it's like to be bullied. And that allows me, I think, to be more effective in helping kids who are being bullied.
Definitely.
You know, it's funny whenever I do a presentation about bullying, especially, you know, with kids, yes. I usually start it by showing a scene from The Karate Kid 3
yes.
where Mike Barnes is bullying Daniel LaRusso.
Right.
And I say to the kids after the clip, would you guys believe that scary guy right. used to get bullied when he was a kid? They're like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. And I think it's ironic that I went on to play this iconic bully
right.
in cinema
yes.
After having been bullied.
Right.
But it's been a great conduit to reaching kids. When you have an age discrepancy, you know, it's very difficult to get kids to listen to you, to kind of get a little daylight into the window.
Right.
And my character in The Karate Kid 3 and Cobra Kai, because, you know, kids really love the character,
right.
they're willing to give me just a yes. few beats to listen to me. And then it's my responsibility to get in there and try to reach them.
Exactly. That's pretty powerful. And the thing about bullying, and you said you go to schools a lot, and you're part of, I think it's called Boo to Bullying. It's like an organization that you work
with. Boo to Bullying is one of the organizations that yes. I work with. And then I also, on my own, do a lot of speaking. Just got back from a school in Missouri where I spoke to yes. about 500 kids there.
Right.
And, you know, I'm just trying my best to spread the message that bullying needs to be eradicated.
Exactly. And, you know, we know it can cause depression. It can cause trouble in school, and also even violence. You know, some of the school shootings, they say
sure.
some of the kids, you know, have been bullied and they come back with vengeance. So the advice that we give to them, now there's different kind of advice, you know, find a mentor, for example. In the Karate Kid movies, it was Miyagi, I think it was, the martial arts
yeah.
teacher. Stand up to the bully, you know, gain social confidence skills. And also, like, you know, tell someone, the authority, you know, like teacher or someone. Some people say if you go always to the teacher that you don't learn how to resolve conflict. You know, the old school yeah. way was, you know, you stand up to the bully and maybe even fight the bully. And some of the parents would say, right. you know, do that. So, you know, things may be changing, but what do you think about that? Because some people, they go to authority when they're a kid, when they're a grown up. If they don't like their neighbor, they'll call the cops on them. Or if they don't like their coworker, they'll complain. So that could be another, you know, another way to do it that may not be as effective. So what is your advice to kids?
There's a lot to unpack here.
Yes.
The first thing is that I believe that as a society, we have had a dramatic decline in civility, in the way that we treat each other.
Yes.
We have become so tribalistic, and we have become so separated that the way that people treat each other day to day, I think, has dramatically declined with regard to years past. I think it starts at home. It starts at home by parents teaching their kids how to communicate effectively, how to be assertive without being aggressive, how to have self-confidence. You know, I think that people largely decide how they are going to treat us based on a couple things. The first being how they see us treat ourselves. And if you walk around looking like somebody that lacks confidence and that's a victim.
Yes.
Unfortunately, that rings the dinner bell for people that are predators.
Right.
It's just a fact. It's human nature and it's animal nature. Also, the way that we allow other people to treat us, you know, it's important that we teach kids and adults how to have defined boundaries and parameters of ways that they will allow people to disagree with them and argue with them and ways that they won't. You know, you talked about going to teachers. You know, there's one of the biggest things I run into is kids saying, well, I don't want to be a rat. Well, being a rat is being a tattletale. When you're being abused and bullied in a place where you're supposed to be able to learn and have an oasis of safety, and that that's not happening, then that's a breakdown, a systemic breakdown in the school. And kids have every right to go and speak to their teacher, speak to the administrator, and speak to their parents and say, this is going on. It doesn't make you a rat. I do also believe that there are times when, you know, you can't rationalize with irrational people. Mm. And I'm a firm believer that being able to defend yourself as a last resort is something that is extremely valuable. And I believe that the more people that can defend themselves, the less likely it is that we see violence in society, because people have a healthy respect for the fact that if they engage with somebody, right, they may find themselves on the receiving end of something they don't want.
Good point. And the martial arts, of course, is a great discipline. And I always recommend it, even for kids that they call hyperactive or aggressive. I think it's actually a very good channel of the energy into a positive direction, which is kind of counterintuitive, because I think, well, my kid's already aggressive. Why do I want to teach him martial arts? I think it...
But martial arts doesn't teach you aggression.
Exactly.
Martial arts teaches you assertiveness.
Yes.
It teaches you confidence.
Right.
Exactly. It teaches you how not to be aggressive, because you exude a sense of confidence in other, you know, I'm a firm believer, and I think you are too, about the law of vibration.
Yes.
And when you put out into the world a vibration of fear and anxiety and lack of confidence, it attracts the exact thing that you don't want.
Right.
When you put out confidence, when you put out compassion and those things,
yes,
you know, that's generally speaking what you're met with.
Right.
And I think that martial arts is, and athletics, and really finding anything, finding that one thing that you're really good at. I don't care if it's, you know, writing poetry, if it's baking a cake, or what it is, but that thing that's going to let you feel special and remind you that you have a special gift to share with the world.
Of course.
That in turn then breeds confidence. And confidence is like, you know, antithetical to bullies.
Yeah.
Bullies do not like to to pick on somebody that's
kryptonite,
confident.
Right? It's a kryptonite for the bullies.
Kryptonite. Yeah. There you go.
It breaks them down. You know, I used to be a shy kid, and actually I studied acting and psychodrama, and that actually helped me come out of that. So I'm thinking like social skills, maybe acting for kids, you know, social activities, positive activities, to help the kids that are bullied come out of their isolation. Because many times it happens, right? They don't have friends, and you know, people pick on them. So, and to be able to relate to people socially is an important factor as well.
Absolutely.
I think you're doing great work. This is a tremendous. Having a mentor, I would imagine, is important as well. Someone that can guide you.
Absolutely. You hit on it with Mr. Miyagi.
Yes.
Body Kid. You know, the ability to have a mentor, somebody who has achieved the things that you want to achieve,
yes,
and can show you how to walk the path. It doesn't mean that they're carrying you. It means they're pointing out the well-worn pitfalls and the traps so that hopefully you can avoid them. Somebody who has a character that you want to emulate. You know, this is something I talk about extensively in my books,
yes,
Way of the Cobra, Welcome to the Kumite. Mm-hmm. Character is everything.
Ah.
Character is how we treat people,
yes,
and how we behave when no one else is watching, when there's nothing to be gained by it. It's simply doing the right thing because it's the right thing.
Definitely. And I'm wondering, the actor that played Miyagi, Pat Morita, I see him kind of as a wise, you know, caring person. Did you have any interaction with him? What was he like?
I worked with Pat extensively during the filming, and it was a tremendous honor. Pat was a brilliant actor. He had learned quite a bit about bullying himself because, you know, during World War II, when the Japanese were placed into concentration camps. Yes. It was a very difficult time for him. And he was a wise man, and I was very fortunate to have the opportunity to work with him.
Fantastic. Now, I'm going to apply your books. Now, your books are very interesting to actually two elements here, the outer bully and the inner bully. Okay, we're going to start with the outer bully, which is, and also we're talking about adults now, because, kids are one thing, but adults are often bullied too, psychologically. Maybe it's the boss at work, another employee bullies you. Maybe it's your love partner can bully you, a friend, family member. So there are a lot of people that are bullied and bully as adults. So one thing, I think we learned that Johnny Lawrence, the character that bullied Daniel, was also bullied by his stepfather as a kid.
Yeah.
And bullied by his own sensei, right? The Kreese as well. So it became a cycle. And now your book, The Way of the Cobra. So you talk about the acronym, character, optimization, balance, respect, and abundance. Okay, so I want to break those down right now, and let's see how that applies to the bullying, what I call how to neutralize the bully. Okay, how to neutralize. Okay, first of all, I think it's character, right? They said treat others as you want to be treated. And in the tradition of spiritual tradition, they say turn the other cheek, but the key is when do you do that? I mean, if someone slaps you, do you do that or do you defend yourself? At what point do you...
I would have to confess, doctor, that I'm still a bit of a work in progress. So the whole turn the other cheek thing.
Okay, it's kind of tough.
It's probably not my strongest suit.
Okay. So tell me, I mean, in terms of the Cobra approach, what is the definition of character in your mind?
Well, character is, let me step back for a second.
Sure.
Reputation is what others say about us. Mm. Okay. And it's largely out of our control. Character is what we know about ourselves to be true. It's the essence of who we are. And as I said, it's how we treat others and how we behave and how we conduct ourselves when nobody else is watching. It's doing the difficult thing because it's the right thing. And I say this to everybody. If there's nothing else that you take from my book, take this. Character is everything. Your character will define your destiny, and protect it and guard it dearly. The thing about character is it can take a lifetime to build and you can burn it to the ground in, seconds. And if your character is intact, everything else becomes simpler. Your path is not, your path is not clouded. You may have a difficult path to walk, but if you know what the right thing to do is, at least you know the direction where you're heading.
Yes, definitely. And I think, being authentic to yourself, your nature.
Yeah.
Maybe you're more internal energy. You don't go out a lot socially, but people are pressuring you to go out. And you say, no, I mean, I like to be out with you, but there are times I want to recharge my batteries. So being true to yourself and not letting yourself be bullied. Some people are socially bullied. Why don't you go out with me, with our friends, you're a couch potato or something. But maybe that's your style. But that's your personality. The other thing is optimization. You talk about taking action is very important. Some people procrastinate, think about it, don't do it. Maybe they are being harassed by someone at work or, in their personal life, and they don't talk about it, right? They keep it hidden. So what's your advice to those people?
Well, I just think that, if you're experiencing any kind of bullying, especially as an adult, there's no excuse for it, especially in, a business, in a business or corporate structure. That's why there's HR, there's human resources where you can go and report what issue you're having, and you can report it with anonymity. There's absolutely no excuse for that happening, and there's no excuse for putting up with it.
Right. But how about like a friend? I mean, people have friends that are bullies, and somehow they.
I don't.
That's good.
You have friends who are bullies?
No, I don't. No. But there are people that do
So what you're saying is people engage with people that are frenemies that bully them.
Good term.
And, you need to look very carefully at who your social circle is. And again, it goes back to setting up boundaries of what you will and will not tolerate.
Yes.
I have no problem having a spirited discussion with friends who think I'm wrong or vice versa, but it's done with respect. But if I'm having a disagreement with somebody.
Yes.
And it starts to cross the line from, you know, spirited disagreement to incivility and right. you know, ad hominem personal attacks.
Yes.
I shut that stuff down very quickly. And I'll shut it down by calling them on it, saying, if you want to continue this conversation, we're going to do it in a civil way.
Right.
Or I'm simply going to remove myself from it and I'm not going to engage with you.
Right, right.
And it sets up a boundary.
Right. It seems like in the media, though, I hear a lot of people being attacked in the media and back and forth. You know, it gets very personal kind of thing.
But. You know, a lot of it, too, is, I mean, this is my personal belief. I think you're crazy if you choose to use social media as a soapbox to put your personal opinions out there.
Right.
You're not going to change anyone's opinion, at least not on social media.
Right.
Most of the people who do this are putting out information in the hope of it being an echo chamber so that they receive, you know, applause and, and support from like-minded people. And all it does is antagonize people on the other side of the argument.
Sure.
So, you know, when you do that and then you're surprised by the fact that people snap back on you, I think that's a little naive. Okay. So, I mean, you know, I think we would all be a lot better off if social media wasn't used as a megaphone for attacking people.
Definitely. Now, you mentioned, you know, we covered like respecting yourself and others is one of the COBRA acronyms. And of course, balance, I think, you know, being kind, but also being strong at the same time, right? You know,
sure. Well, there's optimization. Optimization is making the best choice at the necessary time with the information that you have.
Exactly.
And a lot of people become paralyzed searching for perfection. And you know, I believe perfection is a myth, but I believe if you chase perfection, you might catch excellence along the way.
There you go.
I wish I said that, but that was somebody much smarter than me.
You for the moon, but, okay, you grab the stars, would they say, something like that.
Right. But you know, it's just the ability to pull the trigger. It's the ability to take action when it's necessary to take action.
Right.
Balance. Balance, which is the third pillar of the way of the COBRA. Balance is absolutely imperative to having a life of meaningful happiness. You know, it's no good if you make millions of dollars a year, but it's at the expense of all your interpersonal relationships, which wither on the vine.
Right.
It's also no good if you have fantastic interpersonal relationships, but you struggle financially all the time because that creates insecurity. And it keeps you from having a safety net to protect yourself and your family. And so life is about achieving balance, and it's a bit of an art form. You know, everybody's life is messy.
Right.
It's not easy to do, but seeking balance in all things is one of the secrets to a life of meaningful happiness.
Definitely. And I think, and the last one is abundance. And we talked about this before, you know, optimism.
Nope, it's respect.
Oh, is it respect? Oh, the COBRA. Oh, okay.
And
we missed that. Okay, respect. Yeah, respect.
Respect is, well, it's not simple, actually. Respect starts with how you treat yourself.
Yes.
How you talk to yourself. You know, you can go through life and either be your own cheerleader or your own heckler.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're right.
Hmm.
So it starts with how you talk to yourself. Respect also refers to how you interact with other people,
right?
How you respect the world around us, how you respect, you know, tenets like, you know, honesty and compassion and all of those sort of things, tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's being respectful, not only of yourself, but of other people and also what I believe to be laws of the universe. And then the last one is abundance. And abundance comes down to living in gratitude. You know, one of the biggest things that I attribute my success to is living in gratitude. I don't live in an air of scarcity. I don't worry about what I don't have.
Right.
I'm thankful for what I do have. And what that does is it keeps me rooted in the present. And when you're rooted in the present, you're not worrying about the future, which breeds anxiety. And so often things we worry about in the future never come to pass anyways. That's why there's that acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real.
Mm.
And most of the time, not always, but most of the time, when something does come to pass that is catastrophic, even then, it's not always as bad as we imagine it in our heads.
Yep.
You know, that's why, you know, people say that there's a silver lining. And so by staying in the present, by being thankful for what you have and recognizing that we live in a world of infinite abundance, meaning there is enough money and love and success for everybody. Your success does not take away from my possibility of being successful.
Definitely.
And that's why, rather than envying or coveting someone else's position,
right,
allow yourself to be inspired by it.
Definitely. I like that. Yeah. So I call it inward comparison, which is comparing yourself to the way you were before and you're improving, versus downward comparison or upward, comparing yourself to other people. Because some people compare themselves to other people that are doing better and they feel worse, or they compare themselves to the people who are doing worse. They feel better temporarily, but then they can always find someone doing better.
You know, it's my fourth book, Welcome to the Kumite.
Yes.
Kumite represents the epic battle.
Right.
The battle that we fight against our greatest opponent.
That's
who is our greatest opponent? Our greatest opponent, of course, is ourselves.
Right. The inner bully.
So how do you win?
Yes.
How do you win that battle?
Yes.
You win that battle by emerging every day as a wiser, kinder, stronger individual than you were the day before.
Right.
And how do you do that? Well, you do that, at least for me, every night and every morning, I give a little thought to, you know, what I can do to make today better. Every night I think about, okay, where did I fall short? What could I have done? How could I have helped someone else, helped myself, worked harder? And you're constantly tweaking, you know, you're constantly doing a self-diagnosis, acknowledging the things that you did well and looking forward to the opportunity to have another day to be even better the next day.
Definitely. So I think the idea, when I see the Kumite, which is sparring, but also the epic battle you said with ourselves, right? With our inner bully. Because many times people bully themselves psychologically. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. They attack themselves.
Right, right. That inner voice, that inner critic.
The inner critic. And in the book, The Three Secrets of Happiness, we talked about, I talk about self-forgiveness, which is very difficult for people, regrets.
Right.
And that's one of the issues. But one of the things I like about this book is you have an interesting turn of phrase. You say, choose your hard. Because in life, a lot of things are hard, right? Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Losing weight is hard, but so is being overweight. Now, you mentioned that you had some challenges with drinking and also food that you overcame. And that was hard, but it would be harder probably to continue with the habit and that you did. So tell us about that. How did
No doubt about it. Yeah, you know, for a very long time, I struggled with a drinking issue. And, you know, about the time that I was 52 years old, maybe 51, I felt myself slipping into a life of mediocrity. And I realized that I was never going to achieve the things I wanted to achieve in life if I kept drinking. And somebody said something really poignant to me. They said, would you give up one thing to have everything? And I gave up that one thing. And I have everything.
Wow.
And I don't miss the one thing. With very, very, very rare exception, do I miss it. And even then, when I do, I sort of play the tape forward.
Right.
And very quickly, I realize what a great decision it was to stop that. Look, everybody has their challenges and inner demons.
Right.
You know, living a great life is not about having challenges.
Mm.
It's about two things. It's about how you tackle those challenges and how you get up after you've been knocked down. And one of my martial arts teachers, Sensei Fumio Demura, said, get knocked down 7 times, get up 8.
Mm.
You know, and that's that's one of the secrets. Everybody gets knocked down.
Yes, definitely. Is it the one that passed away? I saw a tweet.
Yes, he did.
But he gave you great wisdom. And I like the idea, you give up one thing and get everything. But I think you told me also you had to give up the hoagies. So that would be two things. the food, you know.
Yeah. You know, I definitely used eating as a coping mechanism.
Right.
You know, I think when we do things like drinking and overeating and gambling and even promiscuous sex and you know, shopping binging, things like that, those are all strategies that humans use to alleviate anxiety, to feel okay.
Right.
And cigarette smoking is the perfect one because we know it's bad for you. We know it kills you.
Mm.
But somebody who needs a cigarette and they have a cigarette, you know, for the 30 seconds or minute after they inhale the nicotine and the 100 other chemicals, which will kill you, they feel good.
Yes.
And so what
did you ever smoke? I mean, I never really smoked. Did you smoke before? Or no?
I smoked for a while and was able to luckily stop that.
Gotcha.
But, you know, smoking is an example of a negative habit.
Sure.
You know, get triggered, you want to do so, you begin a craving, you look for an action that will alleviate the craving, which is smoking,
right,
in order to get a reward, which is feeling, alleviating stress and anxiety.
Right.
So we use lots of these negative habit loops as a coping mechanism. And I was as guilty of that as anybody. And when you learn how to disrupt the negative habit loop and use something that is a positive reward, it's not easy, but it's simple. It's like most things in life. Most things in life are simple.
Yes.
They're not easy, but they're simple when you break
yes.
them down.
Yes.
And, through a lot of hard work, and I'm not perfect. Well, I'm perfect with the drinking, but I'm not always perfect with the eating, but I'm pretty good. And, I've lost almost 50 pounds.
Incredible. Yeah.
And I've kept it off.
Yeah. Last time we talked, I think you said you lost 20 or something. So you probably lost.
Yeah. No, I'm down. I'm down almost 40 heaviest.
That's pretty good. And the thing is, this is something people don't realize, but our negative thoughts can also be somewhat of a quote unquote comforting thing. Like, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to lie here. So you get kind of most comfortable with maybe futility or even a depressed state, as opposed to, getting up and doing something, which can, in the beginning, take a lot of effort. When you feel depressed, it's like a very heavy weight. But just to get out of bed is hard. But if you can get out of bed and then maybe take a walk or do something positive, it gives momentum. And that's the hard part, right? Doing the hard gets to the easy, is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. For me, and I always preface this by saying this is not a theological discussion. This doesn't matter whether you are a person of faith or an atheist. I get on my knees and I thank God, or you can just thank the universe, for five things. I figure out five things for which I'm grateful. And that's a great way to start the day because it roots you in the present.
Right.
It puts you in a positive state of mind, reminding you that you've got some stuff going on. And listen, I'm not saying people don't have difficult, challenging times in their life, but if you're alive, you're breathing, at least you got a shot of turning things around that day. You got another opportunity to write a page in the history book of your life. I thank God that I was, born in the greatest country the world has ever known. Thank God you weren't born in the dark ages. Whether you realize it or not, there's a lot of things we're very fortunate for that we take for granted.
Exactly. That's good. And Sean, the other thing, what I liked from your book, the Welcome to the Kumite, is the idea of dharma, which is known as duty or calling. And you mentioned it earlier, is when you have a something that in Spanish we call it don, a don divino, which is a gift from God, like a talent, an attribute, something that you're good at, that it could be singing, dancing, teaching, caretaking, things like that. It builds confidence, builds self-esteem.
Yeah.
Going back to the bullying issue, if you have that as a young kid, you can, maybe avoid the bullies, right? Because there's something about you that gives you confidence. And also as an adult. You said the sun shines because it's the sun. So it's always there.
Oh, yeah.
You
it's that's a beautiful sun's thing. Dharma is to shine. A bell's dharma is to ring.
Yes, definitely.
And every one of us has something that we are meant to do. And when you discover what that thing is, it puts you in harmony with the universe.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that people can't do something that is antithetical to their dharma. Mm-hmm. Many people do, but they find a lot of resistance. They find a lot of struggle.
Right.
And when you do that thing that you are meant to do, when you discover that, it really puts you in sync with the universe. So how do you find that thing? Well, meditation is a great way because meditation silences the monkey chatter in your brain.
Right.
It allows you to listen to the thoughts in your brain without them, bombarding you. It also lets you listen to the music in your soul. Mm. And that's where your dharma is revealed.
Yes.
You may find that you love to sing, you walk around the house singing all the time. You have a child that does that. Very likely their dharma may be to be in the arts, to be a singer, to be in the arts, to be a music teacher, something like that.
Right.
For a very long time, I thought my dharma was to be an actor.
Yes.
And in reality, my dharma is to be a teacher.
Ah.
Acting is one conduit for me to express myself.
Yes.
But when I started my personal coaching, my speaking, and my book writing, I realized that what I was here to do was to help other people through my teaching.
Yes.
And once I was able to figure that out, everything else became so much easier, definitely, including my acting career.
Yes. You know, I was reading a little bit about this guy named Jay Shetty. I don't know if you heard about him. Think Like a Monk. He's a guy that
I've heard.
Yeah, Indian guy that he went to the monastery for 3 years, and then he became a motivational speaker. And he says a lot of people run away from their dharma because they don't really believe in themselves. And he realized that he didn't. I mean, the monk was a good experience, but he said my real dharma is to, like you said, teach, inspire in the business world and outside. And he did that, and he's written a lot of books and successful. So I think we all need to find that, like you said, the dharma, right? The inner talent, and embrace ourselves, believe that we can do it. Because, you know, parents tell you you should be this and that, and you know, other people say that, and you may follow that for a while. You realize this is my true calling. And that builds confidence, right? It builds inner power.
It builds confidence, and it also creates harmony. You know, you don't feel like, you know, you're doing something that you're not meant to do.
Right.
You know, the Buddhists have the Eightfold Noble Path.
Right.
And, you know, one of them is right work.
Yes.
And you know, the ability to engage in the commerce and the work that you were meant to do is one of the things that leads to meaningful happiness.
Definitely. Do what you love to do for the good of others. In other words, give the fruits to the higher. You know, don't have to worry about results.
That's such a wise thing you just said.
Yes.
For me, being of service is something that's incredibly important to me. I find that the quickest way to get what you want, Alex, is by helping other people get what they want and doing it without any ulterior motive. And when you do that, I believe the world and the universe opens up to you and it blesses you with what you want.
Yes.
And it's funny, the more you are of service, the more you try to give to others, the less important things that you may have previously thought were important, materialistic things, they lose importance for you. I like pretty nice things as much as the next guy, but they don't hold the same allure and value to me that they used to. And then oddly enough, I've gotten more and more of them as I've got along once I realized that.
I think it was Jim Carrey that says everyone should be rich so they realize it's not that important. You know, once you have it, you know, or celebrity, whatever it is. So that's very powerful. The other thing you talk about that's very interesting is the code. You know, the set of values that you live by.
Oh.
And last time we were talking about, I was in Kenpo Karate. So the code of the, I come with only karate empty hands. I have no weapons. But should I be forced to defend myself, my principles are my honor. Here are my weapons, karate empty hands. You said that your one of your codes is never compromise your character. Yeah. And I'm thinking of, you know, even the bullying example, there are people that are people pleasers. They're always doing stuff for other people. They don't take care of themselves, but then they suffer. So what's your advice to the overly people-pleaser type people that do that?
Well, people-pleasing is an attempt at generally conflict resolution. It's a way that people feel like if I reflect to other people what they want, then they'll be nice to me. Well, I'm not interested in people being nice to me. I'm interested in people being kind to me. And I'm also not interested in being nice to people. I'm interested in being kind to them. You know, what's the difference? Well, nice is important. I'm not saying it's not important. You know, nice is kind of the social lubricant that allows us to all get along and not kill each other. You know, it's ways of being civil. It's, you know, manners, things like that. But kindness comes from the heart. And there's times when you can do something that is kind that may not ostensibly seem nice, but kind is much more important. You know, also, if you're constantly trying to be a people pleaser, you're a chameleon and you never know who you really are, because all you're doing is, you know, reflecting what you think other people want from you rather than being an individual of character, immovable in your character. And people are either going to get that or they're not. And the ones that don't get it, they're not meant to be in your life. And the ones who recognize and respect your character are meant to be in your life, and you maintain your authentic self.
Yeah, that's very powerful. I can see what you're saying. The other thing, you also talk about take a personal inventory. Now, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about that. But I'm thinking of fear, for example. Take a personal fear inventory, because fear, you know, with the bully, you bully yourself or other people bully you, is a big component. So asking yourself, what are you afraid of and why? Also, what's the worst thing that can happen? So what's your advice to people that live in fear? I mean, anxiety, worry, you know, people are worried about bills or worried about.
Oh, boy, that's an absolutely terrible way to live your life.
Yes.
In fear.
Yes.
You know, fear wears many masks. It comes in many forms, but it emanates from two sources. It emanates from fear of losing what you have,
right,
and fear of not getting what you want. Okay. And, you know, once you identify how fear manifests in your life, you can start to work on it. You know, people have fear of failure. Well, if you look at failure as a teacher, then, you know, you're a lot less inclined to be afraid of failing. Everybody fails.
Yes.
Everybody who is successful, myself included,
right,
has failed hundreds and hundreds of times. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth, who up until a certain point was the home run king of baseball, also held the record for strikeouts. He struck out more than anyone else.
Right.
You know, Michael Jordan has this great quote, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he basically says, you know, I missed so many free throws. I missed so many game-winning shots. I missed da-da-da-da. And he said, that's why I'm a success. Okay?
Yes, definitely.
It's understanding how to deal with quote-unquote failure, process it, reformat it so that it's something that empowers you. The story you attach to not achieving what you want so that next time you will achieve it. But if you carry it around with you as kind of like a history of all the things that you wanted to do but didn't do effectively,
right,
that's like food for the inner critic. So that every time you try something new, it draws upon those experiences,
yes,
and it's like it has a megaphone in your brain telling you, why try again when all you've done is fail?
Right. The inner bully keeps magnifying the past.
Right.
But again, one of the concepts I think you mentioned is transmutation. So transmuting fear into confidence or failure into success. And we know a lot of, you'll say comedians, for example, were bullied as kids, but they use humor as a mechanism and they become, you know, maybe famous comedians or artists or writers or teachers, whatever that is. And they take that and they channel that, right? That the pain they had into something positive, something creative.
I think it's important too that, you know, you don't listen to that voice that says, you know, what if I fall? You got to listen to that voice that says, what if I fly?
Ah, I like that. That's beautiful. Where do you get all these great phrases, Sean? You must be reading a lot or?
Mostly fortune cookies.
Okay, I like that. So yeah, it comes very natural. And also, you know, the law of reversal is very important too. You mentioned that people direct a lot of energy toward themselves in a maybe self-destructive way, but what if they were reversed that hourly? How much could they accomplish? What books could they write? What people could they help? Fortunes, charitable contributions.
You know, if you think about it, it takes a tremendous amount of energy to put yourself down all the time, to feed your inner critic, all of that stuff. And if you instead turned it outward with the same amount of energy, imagine everything that you could achieve.
It's incredible. Yeah. It's reversing the power externally. And then, but some people say, you know, this is too much for me. I can't really change overnight. Maybe I'm too old and I'm stuck in my ways. But you also mentioned the Japanese way of Kaizen, I believe it's called.
Kaizen, yes.
Kaizen. Gradual improvement, little by little, you know, taking little steps. You know,
It's kind of like the tortoise and the hare. You know, it's the story about slow and easy wins the race. It is proven that in almost any endeavor, slow, consistent, incremental effort applied over the long term will produce greater results than what I call the grip it and rip it strategy.
Yes.
And it's true. And, you know, for people, like you said, people who say, well, you know, you don't teach an old dog new tricks, I'm set in my ways. You don't have to change 180 degrees in one day.
Mm.
If you change half a degree a day, okay. Imagine an ocean liner that's half a degree off course. Not a very big amount of degrees to be off course. But over the course of a week, you want to go to Hawaii and you're going to wind up somewhere else real far away. You know, but conversely, you know, if you just change your course half a degree every day when you're off course, you'll hit your destination in a certain amount of time. And so if you just practice making small incremental changes so that every day you're improving somewhere, some way, in some aspect of your life, I promise you, if you do that with diligence in 30 days, you won't recognize your life.
It's very extremely powerful. You know, the momentary movements toward a positive direction. And I'm thinking in a practical sense, you know, if you want to be a writer of a book, write it one page a day. If you want to start a business, do some research, business plan, or talk to someone that has a business.
Yeah.
Relationships, learn about dating, you know, in terms of opportunities. So there are many ways to do this, right? Day by day, do a little step.
You know, I'll give you a great strategy, Alex. This is something that I created called the 100-Minute Makeover.
Okay, sure.
So I didn't realize this, but a lot of my clients had a lot of trepidation about starting a new task or undertaking if they didn't think they could finish it kind of in one go of it.
Yes.
And so I created a strategy that will increase your productivity with the understanding that you're not meant to complete it. So every Sunday night, I'm a big fan of whiteboards, okay?
Okay.
So I want you to take five things that you want to accomplish during the week. Now, these are not things that are super time sensitive, and they're not things that are, you know, four alarm fires, okay? And you write them down. And what I want you to do is every day, work on the first one for 20 minutes, no longer, no less, with no distractions. And when you can use Siri, or you can use Alexa, or using Egg Timer for 20 minutes. And at the end of 20 minutes, you drop your metaphoric pencil. You're done. Mm. You don't expect to finish it. After that, go have something to eat, go play Candy Crush, go for a walk, go check your social media, and then start the next one.
Right.
By the end of the day, you will have completed 20 minutes in five different tasks. By the end of the week, you will have put 100 minutes into five different tasks. It will skyrocket your productivity. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it tells your mind, I only have to do this for 20 minutes and then I'll have to worry about it until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Okay. It alleviates the, oh God, I got to finish it. If I can't finish, why start? Okay. I use this and it is absolutely one of the most effective things that I use to increase productivity and to combat procrastination. Because procrastination, you know, people say, oh, I'm just a procrastinator. Well, it's not an identity. Procrastination is, it's a behavior. And since it's a behavior, you can hack it, okay? You can change it by disrupting the negative habits that lead into procrastination. Because at the end of the day, procrastination is a soothing mechanism. In other words, if you know you have to clean your garage, but you don't want to do it, so instead you get on a YouTube rabbit hole, or you go and, you know, you go eat a bag of potato chips. You're doing something other than what you need to do right. as a way of soothing yourself from the anxiety of doing what you know you need to do.
Right.
But if you break, it's like how the Navy SEALs say it. They say, how do you eat a 2,000-pound elephant? Mm. You do it one bite at a time. You know, small incremental progress.
Yes, it's pretty powerful. I like that. Because that builds a momentum, which is the most... Bless you. One of the most important things, and also what we call flow, you know, the study of Mihaly, who wrote books on the idea, this optimal state of mind where you lose your self-consciousness. Yes. You're kind of like the runner's high, people that run get into the state where they lose track of time, worries, and they're just in a joyous state. They're in flow, and they can do amazing things. And,
absolutely.
And according to Mihaly and other positive psychologists, the key is to get yourself on a day-to-day basis into more flow, where you're doing those kind of creative or whatever it is that you do to get you in that higher state.
And one of the ways to do that is by being in sync with the universe and not fighting against it. You know, there's times, for instance, when, you know, if I'm struggling with something in my day-to-day life, I don't know what it is. It's something like I'm putting together a piece of furniture.
Well, you're a furniture salesman, right? In the show.
No, not at all. I'm terrible.
Well, I mean, in the TV show, no?
But oh, what?
It's Cobra Kai, right? Supposedly.
Yeah. But my point is sometimes I'll just take a break with something. You know, the universe is kind of telling me, look, you're getting a resistance from this right now. And there's the difference between, you know, fighting hard to achieve something and working hard to overcome a challenge and times when you just need to take a step back and give it a second, go do something else, and then come back with sort of a new set of eyes and a new... reinvigorated spirit.
Right.
Okay. And it's a fine line between the two. You have to find it.
Yes.
But I don't push. I'll give you an example. I was trying to get a deal done with somebody And I'd worked with him before. It was successful. Mm-hmm. We were trying to put something together again, and I just wasn't getting responses with my communication. Sure. He wasn't working towards what he needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I finally just said to him, look, this is obviously not a good time for you to do this. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm chasing you. And I don't chase people. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when you're chasing, you're not in sync with the universe. You know when you're getting resistance and when to take that step back.
Okay, so then it worked out, or you're still waiting for him to come back?
Well, no, it worked out in the sense that I extricated myself from the situation.
Okay.
And it's not causing me any
more strife,
you know, psychic and emotional strife. Yeah. And I'm on to the next.
Good point.
And it's nothing personal against that individual.
Sure.
Because they must have had something going on in their life.
Right.
I don't personalize it.
Right.
But I'm no longer mired in that. Why isn't this person doing what I want? You know,
right.
So often, yes, when we try to impose our wills on other people,
right,
we get the exact opposite effect than what we desire. You ever notice when you try and impose your will on somebody, they recoil from you? That's
yes,
human nature.
Definitely.
Okay. When you chase them, whether it's in a relationship,
yes,
or a business deal or anything like that,
right,
it doesn't mean you don't work hard and give 100%.
Right.
But there are times when you give 100%, you work hard, and you're sensing that the energy is off. And that's the time to take a step back and put your energy somewhere else.
Yes, it's powerful. And actually, I'm going to talk a little about something that's very interesting. Let me show you a demonstration. The art of Aikido, I'm sure you're familiar with, which sure, is harmony, and basically joining and leading. Jonathan, producer, could you come here for a second? I'm going to show you a little demonstration. Now, you may have heard of something called Aiki. Aiki is a verbal Aikido. So for example, if someone's being aggressive towards you, they might raise their voice and say, what do you do this all the time? I'm sick of this. Now you might either respond, and you're stupid too, right? In an aggressive way. Or you can say, oh, I'm sorry. Or you can say, I understand what you're saying. You're angry. And I get angry too sometimes, but maybe we can resolve this. Maybe we can figure out a resolution. You see what I'm doing? I'm matching you at that level. Absolutely. Of intensity, and then I'm bringing it down. So I'm going to show you something here. This is Jonathan, my producer. Say hi to
on here. Hey, Jonathan. Right.
How's it going?
So, Jonathan's, please grab my arm, right? Grab me. Okay, now I can, I can pull back, right? And
right,
move into a tug of war. But what I can do is I can join him, right? By joining him, I now have
very nice.
So I move away.
Yep.
You okay, Jonathan? Did I grab you too hard?
No, you're good.
All right. Let's do it one more time. All right, grab.
Oh, wow.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Very nice.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
So, what we did there is Aiki. How would you apply that to your life, Sean?
Well, I think, you know, you made a really good point with how you speak to people. You know, you can speak with confidence, but also seeking to de-escalate.
Yes.
Still, you know, having boundaries.
Yes.
I find that a lot of times when people are upset, and if you simply say, I can see you're upset, I can see this is something that you're passionate about, and I want to talk to you about it and see if we can find a resolution.
Yes.
But we're going to do it in a way that is civil and respectful.
Yes.
And you know what? And sometimes, you know, I just say, do me a favor, because I want to resolve this with you. Mm-hmm. Let's both take a deep breath for a second. And you do that. And what you're doing is you're changing someone's state.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we get so wrapped up in an emotion, being right. We even know we're wrong. We can't. Right. It's like a runaway emotional train.
Yes.
And when you got to kind of reboot yourself. Okay. And that's a really effective strategy for a lot of things. You know, if you're really struggling with something, even if you're struggling with, say, oh God, I know I'm going to go in the refrigerator, I'm eating something really bad for myself.
Yes.
A lot of times you're doing that because you're in a state.
Right.
If you can reboot that state and say, you know, I'm going to go for 5 minutes and I'm going to go listen to some music, mm-hmm, or I'm just going to stick my head outside and get some fresh air. You reboot yourself. And you can see things with greater rationality.
Yeah, and actually, you've heard of Gottman, who did a lot of marriage research. He videotaped couples. He can predict within 5 minutes if they're going to be divorced in 6 months by 90% accuracy. And he hooks them up to monitors. He observes their nonverbals. And the people that are successful are not the couples that are successful, not the ones that don't fight, the ones that can have that little softener, that little reset, like you're saying. Maybe one of them says a little humorous thing or a slight touch on the shoulder.
My wife and I, we always joke about it. We say at least once a month, we got to have a good bench clear.
Bench clear, right?
Clear brawl. And we both scream and yell for about 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then one of us will look at the other and smile. And then we start laughing.
There you go. That's it.
You know what I mean? So you're right. It's not fighting.
Right.
It's not, you know, becoming emotionally demonstrative sometimes.
Right.
It's how you choose to resolve.
Resolve, right? Yeah. The little softeners, right?
I don't care if you're living with Mother Teresa, okay? You right. can't be with somebody,
right.
you know, all the time in a relationship sure. and one person is not going to do something that gets on the other person's nerves.
Definitely
it's
so.
It's human nature.
Right. Right. But knowing how to, like you said, resolve it, you know,
yeah.
communication and having respect and not contempt, because he talks about contempt as being one of the destructions of marriage, you know?
Yes, right. Because contempt is
sarcasm buried, and all that, yeah. yeah.
It's buried resentment that comes right. out in, you know, nasty sarcasm and disrespect and all those sort of things, because it's like a splinter, you know, under the skin, it's unresolved
yes.
issues that are festering.
Right, exactly. I can see we can do like different variations of this. We can do relationships, we can do business.
Absolutely.
All this stuff really has great application. And yeah. also you're in a state of flow as we speak. I mean, today even more than before for some reason. You're just...
Oh, well, you know, I don't know. I feel great. I went my workout in today.
Oh, okay. And, you had the workout.
You know, yeah. You know, I'll tell you, I have challenges like everybody else has.
Sure, we all do.
But I don't have too many days that are not great days.
Fantastic. Yeah.
I really don't. Yes. You know, and it's a lot of it is how I choose to look at things
right,
and course. Process things.
Yes.
And, you know, I would like to, you know, share all that information with everybody from my books.
Definitely. Yeah, I want to
get people that would like, yes. yeah, for those people that would like to get my books, you can get them at wayofthecobra.com.
Yes. Of course.
And, you know, I give everybody a money back guarantee. I say, if these
yes.
books,
yes.
if you put into effect right. an action,
right.
what is in my books,
yes.
and if your life doesn't change, I will give you 100% of your money back. Wow. And nobody
okay.
has ever asked their money back.
That's confident. Yeah. Cause you stand by what you believe in character. Now Sean, I got to right. ask you this, cause people are always asking me, the fans of your show or the Cobra Kai, you are on the strike. Is there any notice about when you guys are coming back to the show? As far as you know, the debut?
I believe that most shows are going to be coming back after the new year, shortly after the new year. They all want to get back into production as quickly as possible.
Okay. So Cobra Kai is coming back? And by
Yes, it is, for the final season.
Okay. Anything about Mike Barnes that you can tell us? Is he in the picture here?
Not that I can tell you.
Not you can tell. Okay. But if he were to come back, what would be his goal, do you think, in terms of the...
I honestly have no idea. You know, I'll tell you. When I came back for season 5, whatever I thought was going to happen was absolutely
right.
not what the producers had in mind. And that's why they are so brilliant at what they do.
Right. Okay.
And they came up with a storyline for my character that was really terrific. And,
yes.
you know, if I'm fortunate enough to come back, I don't know what it's going to be, but all I can tell you is it'll be great.
Right. You told me something about redemption last time. That could be a possibility of...
Yeah, we saw some redemption from Mike Barnes
yes.
In season 5. You know,
right.
he apologized to okay. Daniel LaRusso and wound up
yes.
helping him and Johnny Lawrence and
right.
Chosen to yes. go after Terry Silver.
Right, so there is a redemption and from bullies or, you know, aggressive people if they grow, right? It's all about growth.
Absolutely. It all comes from inner growth.
And finding the Dharma. It's been a pleasure again, Sean, as always, having you on the show. We love you to come on.
Thank you.
And tell us again that... Yeah, we enjoy it. So tell us again your website, coaching programs, things that you want people to do.
Yeah, you can go to wayofthecobra.com or you could follow me on Instagram. I'm the guy with the blue check mark, Sean Cannon. It's Sean Cannon or Sean.Cannon. And I keep my DMs on and I talk to everybody as best I can, reaches out to me. And right now I've got a special with my books. If you order either of my books, autographed and personalized for $50, yes. you get a free personalized video with it. So
okay.
reach out and get those books now. And as we're coming to the end of this year, the beginning of a new year,
yes.
it's a perfect time to start making some great changes in your life.
Definitely. I think we had a contest one time where I gave away my book, you gave away yours for someone yeah. that came up with an idea. Maybe we'll do that next time.
Yeah, I love that. I actually just sent the gentleman who won yeah. the book a couple weeks
ago. Right, something how to transform aggression into peace or something like that we came up yeah. with. So that would be kind of fun. Well, again, Sean, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. If anyone has any questions for Sean, you can reach us at loveuniversity.love, 310-226-8090. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and all the other ways. So again, Sean, it's been wonderful, and we'll see you next time.
Take care of yourself.
Welcome to the Kumite of your life. Yeah, that was a great interview with Sean Kanan, the star of Cobra Kai, Karate Kid 3, and many other TV shows. Very talented actor, producer, writer. But also, he loves to teach. He loves to teach and inspire others to be the best they can be, write books, and in a psychological and spiritual way. So we learned a couple of things. First of all, have your dharma, your talent. Develop who you really are, your authenticity. Also, have your code, your values. What do you believe in? Your character, which is your strength. Don't give it to other people just to please them. Please yourself, and then you can please others. And what he mentioned at the end, give love without expectation. That's the most powerful thing of all. So, Love University students, if you want to be on a future show, have a show idea, or want to comment on today's show, you reach us at 310-226-8090. Write to us at loveuniversitylove@gmail.com. Visit us at loveuniversity.love. You can download the podcast on Spotify, SoundCloud, Podbean, and iTunes. You can like and follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Love University Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Love.U Podcast. You can subscribe to us at Love University YouTube channel. So until next time, this is Dr. Alex Avila. Put away your notebooks, your iPads, your phones. Class is now dismissed.